97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the NBA and one of Carolina's favorite sons. Our guest, Danny Green, shooting guard for the San Antonio Spurs and one of only three Tar Heels to have won both an NCAA and an NBA championship. So, Danny, those two rings, are you prouder of that or of the fact that you are universally viewed as the best dancer in Carolina basketball history?
Probably the dancing part. Probably my hardest achievement.
Yeah, okay, so why is that? I mean, two rings is pretty good.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't seem that great of a big of a deal as being a dancing champ.
Well, okay.
No.
You could go on Dancing with the Stars, maybe.
Yeah, maybe one day. But all jokes aside, the rings are definitely, you know, my most proudest moments of being a basketball player, being an athlete, a competitor, so. It's hard to compete with anything else when you compare it to rings.
Yeah, I was thinking about it yesterday. You just finished your ninth season. If you have a player who who's in the league for 12, 15 years, that's 15 possibilities of winning a ring. In college, you only have at most four chances. So that's really pretty impressive doubling up is to win one in college and one in the pros.
Yeah, I guess it's tough. I mean, league, a lot of guys never make it to the finals or never get the opportunity, which is, you know, kind of strange. They've used that many years to achieve it. You think more guys will have them, but a lot of times it doesn't happen that way. It's one team each year, and a lot of the stars aren't on those top teams. There's only one or two stars on those top teams, unless they join up, which some guys are doing now. But, you know, a lot of those stars, a lot of great players don't get a chance to witness it and be a champion.
Yeah, so let's walk back a little bit to those days in North Babylon, New York, when you had the outdoor court, and you know there folks thought Danny Green Jr. was going to be pretty good, but there were some trying times for you. You were the sixth or seventh man for Carolina for 2 years. Thought about transferring away from Carolina, got cut twice as a pro. What does that say about the staying power of Danny Green Jr.?
Just that my foundation is really good. I still love myself. It's a lot of, you know, I guess people around me, my friends and family, encouraging me and you know, they were here for me and sticking to it. You know, obviously my coaches, and Coach Williams was a great part of that. Instilled some good, you know, characteristics in me. It's allowed me to stay persistent and keep going and not give up. So, you know, my foundation was great. It helped me become who I am today and helped me stay, you know, persistent at things and be, you know, somebody that never gave up.
You know, we hear a lot of talk about the Carolina family, and how has that affected your journey?
Carolina what?
The Carolina family or the Carolina way.
Yeah, I was at Coach Williams. The things that he teaches every day, practice, we always have, you know, a saying or an emphasis, you know, not just offensive, defensive, but there's always a life saying or emphasis. And a lot of those small little things have taught me, you know, a great deal of how to be an adult, how to be a man. So, you know, those things helped me in life, being organized and attacking my goals and achieving the things that I wanted to achieve. So the Carolina family, the alum, the Carolina way has helped me a great deal in being, you know, successful at some of the things that I've tried to be successful at.
So let's go back to the 2009 title here at UNC and one particular play, that dunk over Greg Paulus. Is that ingrained in your memory to the degree that it's ingrained in the memory of Tar Heels fans?
I guess. I mean, I've played basketball for a good amount of years. I don't dunk very often. I used to dunk more in college. Now, not so much, but it's definitely probably my best dunk ever in college. So something I'll never forget. But I don't think it's something that every time I think of, you know, college games, I think of that. Or, you know, that was definitely my best college games ever in Duke, not just the dunk, but that game alone. But, yeah, I wouldn't say it's engraved in my mind as much, but it definitely comes to mind when we, every time the Duke Carolina games come on, they're always talking about the highlights, and everybody's always tagging me on social media. So it's hard to forget it, but it's definitely probably my best college dunk that I've ever had. So.
Yeah, and it's seen as one of the best dunks in Carolina history. And is it because of the setting that makes it so special, or because of the athleticism, or is it all that put together?
Setting. Altogether, I think it's the setting more so than anything. Because of who it was against and what building we played in, and the rivalry, I think makes it that much, you know, sweeter, that much special, more special, because it was against Duke in Cameron. And, you know, it was a big game for us, and a big game for me. You know, it was probably my best college game of my career, I believe.
All right, I do want to get into some personal stuff with you, but before we go to the first break, tell me, give me some quick predictions. Celtics, Cavs, Rockets, Warriors.
I'm going to have to go with Cleveland over Celtics, because I think the Celtics are really good, but it's hard to do that without their two-star players. And Golden State over Houston, because I just think, you know, both teams are high-scoring teams, and, you know, Houston lives and dies by the three, but I think Golden State is the better defensive team and well-rounded. So, you know, if Houston doesn't outshoot them or continue to shoot for at least four great games, outscore them, which I don't see them doing, I see Golden State, you know, taking that series. So it's probably going to be a Cleveland-Golden State matchup again in the finals this year.
Lots of folks will be looking forward to that. And Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with one of Carolina's all-time favorite men's basketball players, Danny Green. Danny, your journey the past, let's say, 10 years after leaving Carolina, that 2009 championship, now 9 full years in the league, there's one female that's been a constant with you during that time named Jade. What can you tell us about Jade?
She's made it through some tough times. She's been with me for a while now. She's been consistent. You know, some ups and downs, but she's been great. She's been as persistent as I have been. And there's been times where I almost lost her, times that she had to travel, times I had to leave her behind. But, you know, she's hung in. She's doing well for herself right now. And, you know, she's living okay. She's a little older now. But, you know, I'm glad she's in there by my side.
So we're just for our listeners' edification, we're not talking about a girlfriend here. We're talking about your 9-foot boa constrictor.
Yeah, pet snake. I got her when she was a little, I don't say like a worm, but she was really small, from Petco, my junior year of college. And she's lasted, you know, some time now. She's still doing well and kicking and very healthy.
That's cool. Well, you know, snakes are, of course, cold-blooded. And I've heard you describe many, many times as never too high, never too low, sort of very even, almost cold-blooded in nature. So does that have anything to do with your attraction to the snake and that being your pet?
No, I wouldn't say that has anything to do with it. I just think that's a big saying or a big emphasis in the league, because there's so many games. There's so many, you know, times you can bounce back, competitive opportunities, and you know you can't just base one game. You so mostly over a game, whether it's getting down on yourself or getting too excited for one game. There's 82 of them plus preseason and playoffs for some guys, for most teams, at least half the league anyway. So you know, I just think it's a big emphasis for most people, most guys in the league, that you know you can't get too excited about a situation, or you can't get too down on yourself in a situation, because probably have 2 or 3 more games that week, and you know, maybe 4 in a week you'll have some. So you got to continue to just keep, I guess, a straight, narrow, or a straight mind and not to get emotional about it. At the same time, the game full of emotions. So guys aren't just cold-blooded about it. They still get excited. But just after the game, you know, it's a quick turnaround. So you celebrate it until midnight, or you can dwell on it until midnight and be down yourself until about midnight. Then you have to, you know, refocus and start over and get ready for the next game.
So this, but this idea of you being never too high, never too low, I don't know where that comes from, if anyone's ever seen you dance on the sidelines. But, you know, regardless, that is seen by many as a plus, that you never get too high or too low. There was a time, though, that I think it was seen as a negative. When did that affect you during those the days when you were sitting at home on the couch, weren't wondering if you were going to get back into the league?
I mean, I said, I didn't, at that point in my career, I was very young, so I didn't understand it. You know, at that point, I also didn't probably have it as a big emphasis. As being a professional and understanding, you know, opportunity is going to come. So at that moment, I was, you know, very down. It was a rough time, but, you know, I stayed with it. I stayed persistent. I followed what my high school coach, Coach Williams, my AU coaches, all my coaches and family have taught me. And, you know, it's just to continue to be persistent and, you know, fight through it. You'll never give up. And things turned out well.
Can you go back to, you know, every kid who has some talent, which would not have included me, but who, you know, who has some talent has that dream, right? Go back to the times when you were 10 years old, 12 years old. When did the dream actually start to become, in your mind, a potential reality?
Oh, man. Probably when I first started getting recruited by Carolina. You know, I was a decent high school player in Long Island, New York. We didn't get a lot of attention. So, I never really got high Division I level looks. Went to ABCD camp, which is an elite camp. They invite certain people to. My junior year, I got some, you know, mid-major, you know, offers, and then some very small, you know, higher Division I level offers. But then after my junior year, going to my senior year, that's when Carolina started recruiting. With the ABCD camp, then I started getting, you know, more offers, more letters from a lot of different other schools, higher Division I level schools. And, you know, that's when it was like, you know, there's a possibility that I might be recruited very high and have a chance to, you know, be a McDonald's All-American, a chance to be a pro, and a chance to achieve a lot of these things that I've always wanted to achieve. That's when it was like, you know what, I might have a shot to, you know, play basketball as a profession.
When Roy Williams saw you at that camp, what did he say during the recruiting process that he saw at that camp that made him interested in you?
I just think they liked the fact that I could do everything. You know, they always call me a stat sheet stuffer, but I was never great at one thing, but I did a little bit of everything, and I was pretty good. And I think they were impressed with that. And I think it was Coach Rob, who was the main advocate for me, who was, you know, really helped with the process of recruiting me. And, you know, I was Coach Holiday was at the time. But so I think they just both liked my energy and the way that I brought myself in defensively, you know, how active I was, but the fact that I did everything, a little bit of everything pretty well, I think, you know, something they liked. And they felt that they could probably help me get better at some other things and adjust to it. But, you know, it was good to be able to get recruited by them. I said, my friends and family, I didn't believe it at first. I was like, no way. You know, I was always a Carolina fan as a kid growing up. And I thought somebody was joking when they told me that they were in the stands and they really wanted to talk to me and see me. But, you know, I had a pretty good outing, a pretty good showing at the camp, which helped. And they liked the fact that I could do a little bit of everything.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with Danny Green of the San Antonio Spurs. Danny, one more quick question about that that camp or that tournament that Roy Williams saw you in. You were competing against some pros at that time, were you not?
Yeah. There's a lot of guys. We were the last class to be able to go straight from high school as well. But there's a lot of guys, you know, in that camp that went to the NBA, that played in the league.
LeBron was one of them?
Some of he was there, but I didn't play against LeBron when he was a couple years older than me. So the time that I was invited, he wasn't there. He had just left.
Okay. So, Danny, you've had a lot of contact with the School of Media and Journalism lately, including a PR class that has developed some PR materials for your sports camps, your basketball camps coming up. How did that relationship come about?
Well, I said Eric Hoots is a big piece of our basketball operations at Carolina, and he's the one that pretty much brings everybody back, all alum. He keeps us in contact, lets us know about events, and he's the guy. Whatever we need from, you know, school, our school, when we come back, he's the guy to talk to. And he had been in contact with Professor, obviously, because Professor played back in some time. He's also close friends, a good friends with, I think, Antoine Jameson and many others. He went to school around that time when all those guys came in and played. So he's had a good relationship with the basketball operations. And he connected with Eric Hoots, and Hoots connected me with him and thought it would be a great idea. From there, you know, we started, you know, talking, discussing certain things, and I thought it was great. And so I just finished grading a lot of the kids' projects. The kids, students did a great job. It was very informative and helpful and fun at the same time. Seeing the videos and the time and the work they put in, the effort. And, you know, it was good to see a lot of that feedback, but also see, you know, students still take an interest in, I guess, my life and my camps and helping me and try to better, you know, obviously Chapel Hill and the Carolina community, I guess.
Yeah, we've already talked about Jade, the boa constrictor. Did the winning team have an advantage by calling itself Team Jade?
I think all teams had great names. Might have been a little edge, but I think all the names were really good. They're all very unique. They all had, you know, some green light or, you know, green this or green that, and then Jade, and they all had some interesting names. But I just think the team that won had a video that a little more into their video or presentation. All of them did great jobs on report, but, you know, I kind of looked at the videos and seeing who had different stuff to add into their presentation. I think the group that I chose probably had a better, you know, more work or better video presentation than the others.
So, Danny, we have about a minute left. Tell us how kids in the area can get involved in the Chapel Hill part of the camp.
Well, you can sign up online at codelevelse.com and register. It'll be July 14th and 15th, 10 to 2. So we usually teach fundamental skills, fundamental stations. We do some, you know, maybe we might do add a little media station or do an interview station. Make things interesting. We also have a day where we, you know, participate, play against the kids, a camp or council game. But, you know, it's very easy. You can find it on my Instagram, find it on my Twitter, any of my social media. My Instagram is GreenRanger14. My Twitter is DGreen_14. And like I said, GoldLevelSE.com is where you can sign up and register. That's our website.
There's a chance to play some basketball with Danny Green and maybe get a replay of that Greg Paulus teabag dunk from back in 2008. All right, that does it.
Dunkin' days are kind of over, but I might, you know, have some highlights in there.
Okay, there we go. That does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Danny Green. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is the service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.